Good afternoon, 4:30 and 32 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
Kentucky could be a model for how red states turn green. I think this is the kind of issue that can bring people together, Democrats and Republicans.
The issue former Congressman Mike Ward is talking about is medical marijuana. He'll lobby the state legislature this year for such a bill. Two people are dead following a shooting in Scioto County. And heavy rains in recent days have pushed lake and river levels above normal all across Kentucky. In sports, the longtime coach of the New York Giants has called it quits. Bud Luke has the stocks. Mostly clear tonight with flurries possible, low in the mid-teens. The complete forecast is coming up. First, this news. Two people have been shot to death in Scioto County. Sheriff Marty Danini says the bodies were discovered by a family member shortly before 9 o'clock this morning in the Minford area. The victims were identified as 48-year-old Candace Newsom and her 16-year-old daughter, Christina. No other information has been released about the investigation. WOWK is reporting that their bodies were discovered in a home on Blue Run Road. A Lee County man has been killed in the crash of two pickup trucks near Boonville. WYMT is reporting that the accident happened Saturday night at the junction of State Routes 30 and 1411 and took the life of 48-year-old Stephen McIntosh. The Owsley County coroner says McIntosh was driving one of the vehicles. A 35-year-old Portsmouth man is held in the Scioto County Jail on charges of trafficking in heroin and possession of criminal tools. WSAZ is reporting that Joshua Smith was arrested Sunday in the 1500 block of 5th Street. Police say they went to the house after reports of suspicious activity. They say Smith was arrested after a bag containing heroin valued at $2,400 fell out from under his shirt. They also say he was in possession of digital scales. A massive fire near Hopkinsville has destroyed a traditional Amish business and a nearby home. Mike Dickey is assistant chief of the Oak Grove Volunteer Fire Department. He says the blaze could be seen from miles away, and five fire departments responded to the site in Christian County.
Right now, three structures have burned. We have a fourth that is damaged from the fire. Don't know a cause yet.
Dickey says no one was hurt in that blaze. Substantial precipitation in recent days has water levels in Kentucky lakes and rivers well over normal for this time of year. The water level at Cave Run Lake peaked at just under 731 feet on December 30th and has been falling since then. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, Cave Run's average winter pool is 724 feet. The latest measurement today for the 8,200-acre waterway near Moorhead is 727.6 feet. Cave Run had a record level of nearly 745 feet in March 2015. Mike Looney is the resource manager for Lake Barkley in western Kentucky. He says when water levels get this high on any lake, extra caution is advised.
We had a report earlier of somebody's boat that was had broken loose and was floating around out in the lake. And if you find yourself with a reason out on the lake, be aware of floating debris or other things.
Looney says the forecast calls for water levels at Lake Barkley and Kentucky lakes to crest sometime Wednesday or early Thursday. Well, the National Weather Service says 2015 was one of the wettest years on record in Kentucky. We get details from Paul Miles.
A final surge of rainfall pushed 2015 totals higher in recent days. More than 62 inches of rain fell on Louisville this year. That's the fourth highest amount ever for the city. Frankfort had its second wettest year ever with more than 61 inches of rain. Lexington recorded over 59 inches. The National Weather Service says normal annual rainfall in Kentucky is 45 inches. I'm Paul Miles.
According to a new report from the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, Kentucky shows a net gain of 20,000 jobs since the recession bottomed out in June 2009. Chamber President Dave Atkison says the study divides the Commonwealth into 9 regions, and 7 of those areas have seen employment increases. Ashland and the Mountain region have not. Atkison says most of the new jobs have been created in urban areas, but some rural university towns have done pretty well, too. He spoke via Skype with KET.
You can go to communities like in Moorhead or Murray, where they have universities, and find that there's a relatively robust economic growth pattern, in part fueled by a university and graduates coming out of those universities.
The report shows that Rowan County has gained more than 300 jobs, an increase of 3.3% since June 2009. However, Boyd County has lost more than 2,000 jobs over the last 6 years, a decline of more than 7%. The Mountain region saw its employment levels plummet more than 13%. The figures were based on reports by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says Ashland's downtown arcade is again an important center of commerce. This year marks the arcade's 90th birthday. Gunderson says many Ashlanders consider the arcade to be the city's first mall. The enclosed shopping area off Winchester Avenue has seen its ups and downs over the years. However, Gunderson says right now, it's back with a vengeance.
We're seeing much more people there. We're seeing much more merchants there. We're seeing much more commerce there. And that has caused us to trigger a need to do more parking enforcement at the request of those merchants.
Gunderson says the increased commercial activity in the arcade is among the reasons the city commission voted to remove the parking meters downtown and permit free parking with a 2-hour limit. Well, many cities that built downtown malls or enclosed shopping areas during the last century have seen them fail and in some cases be taken apart. However, the manager of Ashland's Main Street program says the Boyd County community's downtown arcade has made a comeback. Whitney Lowe heads AIM, or Ashland in Motion. She says the arcade, which is accessible off Winchester Avenue, has secured several new businesses in recent years. Lowe agrees with Commissioner Gunderson that the center is once more a hub of commercial activity.
Absolutely. I'm very impressed with the way the arcade has grown in the past several years. It really has become kind of the jewel of downtown again. And it is, more importantly, a center of commerce. And we have some fantastic retailers who are all locally owned and really making an impact on downtown.
When Ashland's arcade was built in 1926, the 4-story structure was called the finest in the South by the Paintsville Herald newspaper. It featured shops on the bottom 2 floors and offices on the upper 2 levels. A former Kentucky congressman is leading an effort to legalize medical marijuana. Mike Ward has formed Legalize Kentucky Now, a group that will push for legalization in the new session of the General Assembly. Ward says it's time for Kentucky to be a model for the rest of the nation. Ward's younger brother smoked marijuana to ease the pain of AIDS, a disease that took his life in 1992.
The hospital staff looked the other way as he smoked marijuana in the bathroom because they knew it could help him with his appetite. It could help him keep food down. Kentucky isn't a leader in that many things in this country, at least not that many good things. It'd be nice, especially since 23 states have legalized some form of medical marijuana.
In the past, similar legislation has failed to get a vote in the Kentucky House or Senate. Kentucky's legislators began their 2016 session tomorrow, and one state senator says there's no doubt what topic will get the majority of their attention. Republican Steve West represents the 27th district, which includes Rowan and 7 other counties in the eastern part of the Commonwealth.
I think the issue, what I've been telling people, it's that's going to suck the air out of the room is the pension systems, the KERS and the KTRS. That's going to consume budget negotiations, that's going to consume a lot of our time.
Kentucky's 2 state pension systems, the KRS and the KTRS, are currently in the red. to the tune of $17 billion. The special Blue Ribbon panel was formed earlier to make recommendations on how to plug that hole. Governor Matt Bevin will lay out his priorities for Kentucky when he delivers his first State of the Commonwealth speech January 26th. And Senate President Robert Stiver says we'll know then what the new governor's priorities are when he sends a budget to the legislature. Stiver says there are some big challenges confronting the new Republican chief executive, including pension and health care reform. Stivers, a Republican from Clay County, discussed the issues and others Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman. He says he likes Bevin's approach to the job.
I tell you what he does. Whether you agree with him or not, he brings an excitement, an outsider's excitement into the equation, which is really refreshing. And it's great to see that perspective.
Stiver says Bevin has also assembled a talented team to lead the executive branch. He says many of the governor's aides took huge pay cuts to join the new administration. The mayor of Ashland says he had a chance to discuss city issues with Matt Bevin before the Republican was elected governor in November. Because of that, Chuck Charles says he won't hesitate to seek assistance from Bevin when the need arises.
I think when it comes to economic development, we have been shortchanged in eastern Kentucky. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. You know, it's obvious when you see a map of projects. We need those projects. And I think with the initiative of SOAR, with the past governor, I think that Governor Bevin will probably take up that SOAR.
Charles says he thinks Ashland has a voice in the office of Kentucky's new governor. Kentucky's new attorney general, auditor, agriculture commissioner, and treasurer were all sworn into office today. Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes also took the oath for a second term as Secretary of State. Fellow Democrat Andy Beshear is the son of former Governor Steve Beshear. He's also the state's new AG.
We seek justice. We rescue the oppressed. We provide a voice for the voiceless. We protect those who cannot protect themselves.
The new auditor, agriculture commissioner, and treasurer are all Republicans. They are Mike Harmon, Ryan Quarles, and Allison Ball. Retired 19th District Court Judge Todd Walton says he doesn't know how some Kentucky judges manage to settle complex family issues without the help of a CASA program. Walton says he spearheaded creation of the court-appointed special advocates program in Fleming, Mason, and Bracken counties when he was first elected in 1995. He says CASA volunteers are the voice of abused and neglected youngsters and are specially trained for that purpose.
The value of CASA to the Commonwealth of Kentucky is immeasurable. The cost to society of dependent, neglected, and abused children who become unproductive, irresponsible, and harmful adults is incalculable.
Walton says CASA volunteers help judges collect timely, accurate, and complete information about family matters that are crucial to a judge's decision. And finally, this afternoon, the founder and director of a Moorhead-based nonprofit organization says the Good Giving Challenge to benefit children in four rural Chinese provinces has been met. Betty Cotts heads Blessing Hands, which was able to raise $10,000 in the last 3 days of its fundraising effort. She says that was coupled with a $5,000 endowment from the Bluegrass Community Foundation and makes possible the purchase of classroom computers for the Duan Special Education School.
We also do other things. We have sponsorship programs for high school students in China. You pay for your own high school. We also do water purification. We do libraries. We try to help Chinese children have advantages that are in the rural areas, minority areas. We've been doing this in four provinces now and for 10 years.
Cut says the Good Giving Challenge raised a grand total of more than $16,400. She says the money came from 38 unique donors. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area. Tonight, mostly clear with flurries possible. Lows in the mid-teens, Tuesday sunny, highs in the mid-30s, and Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows in the upper teens. Around the region, it is 33 degrees in Ashland, 32 in Flemingsburg, 33 in Inez, 34 in Lexington and Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 32 degrees. 4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, victims of human trafficking live and work in Kentucky communities. And victims' advocates say it's important to identify the signs of such abuse and report them. Here's the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre.
It's been 2.5 years since Kentucky improved its human trafficking laws to provide safe harbor to child victims, a move their advocates say has increased awareness of the problem. There were 46 calls made from Kentucky last year to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline. January is Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and Jenna Novak, who works with the hotline, wants others to know it's more common than they might assume.
Human trafficking is a form of modern-day slavery where an individual is compelled to engage either in commercial sex or some kind of labor through the means of forced fraud or coercion. I think it's happening under our nose everywhere all of the time.
Warning signs include a person not being allowed to leave or to come and go as they wish, working excessively long or unusual hours, not being allowed breaks or having unusual restrictions, and appearing in poor physical or mental health. To request help or report suspected human trafficking, call the hotline at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP to Be Free on a cell phone. The key improvement to Kentucky's human trafficking laws, which went into effect in July 2013, provided minors what is known as safe harbor, treating them as victims, not criminals. Amy Nace DeGonda with the Human Trafficking Program at Catholic Charities of Louisville says the stronger law has helped identify more victims.
I think we've made great strides. We're seeing more victim service agencies pop up and more money coming into those agencies to help to work with victims of human trafficking, but we obviously still have a long way to go.
The Kentucky Rescue and Restore Coalition says 332 victims of human trafficking have been identified in the state since 2008, 197 of whom were trafficked as children. Calls to the national hotline from Kentucky last year ranked 23rd in the country. Kentucky's population is 26th. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock this afternoon and MyCast Sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Stories and Stitches, local art quilts with stories to tell. On display through February 27th, the exhibit showcases the work of 8 quilters from Rowan and Menifee counties. The quilts tell stories of shared experiences, memories, beliefs, and creativity. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Coughlin walks away from the G-Men. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the Sports Report. The New York Giants are parting ways with Tom Coughlin after 12 seasons at the helm. According to ESPN, Coughlin addressed his coaching staff that he will be stepping down as the head coach. In his tenure, Coughlin led the Giants to 2 Super Bowl championships. The San Francisco 49ers have fired head coach Jim Tomsula. Tomsula lasted only 1 season with the Niners, going 5-11 this year. As of right now, San Francisco is interested in Chip Kelly and Sean Payton as possible candidates to fill the vacancy. The Cincinnati Bengals are now looking forward to the AFC wildcard game at Paul Brown Stadium against arch-rival Pittsburgh next Saturday night. Cards Marvin Lewis Bengals finished up at 12-4 for the NFL's regular season following a 24-16 win over the Baltimore Ravens at home yesterday.
When you set out the season, 16 games, and you can win 12 of them, you got to feel pretty good about things. 12 wins generally gets you an opportunity in the playoffs, and that's what this is all about.
The Bengals still hope the broken thumb that Andy Dalton sustained against the Steelers on December 10th will be healed well enough to allow him to quarterback their offense this coming weekend. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady had an MRI today revealing a sprained right ankle. Brady suffered the injury in yesterday's loss to the Dolphins when Ndamukong Suh hit Brady and landed on his ankle. Brady is expected to be back in time to play in the divisional round of the playoffs. Finally, from the NFL today, the NFC's top seed Carolina Panthers have lost starting quarterback Charles Tillman for the playoffs with a torn ACL. Latest NCAA men's basketball poll is out and a new team is on top. Jack Briggs has the coverage.
Michigan State was the top team in the Associated Press poll last week, but a loss to Iowa has dropped the Spartans from number 1 to number 5. That means a new number 1, and that school is Kansas. The Jayhawks received 44 first-place votes, while second-ranked Oklahoma got 21 from the media panel. Both schools are from the Big 12. Completing the first five this week are Maryland, Virginia, and then Michigan State. Your second five features North Carolina, Arizona, Providence, Kentucky, and Xavier. This is Jack Briggs.
The Kentucky basketball team will bid for its third straight win tomorrow night when it visits LSU for a game against the Bayou Bengals and freshman phenom Ben Simmons. The 10th-ranked Big Blue will be coming off an impressive 83-61 weekend blasting of Ole Miss. Point guard Tyler Ulis shined for UK with 20 points, 10 assists, and 6 steals. Coach John Calipari says Ulis competes better than any other player he has.
But I don't have enough other guys that want to do that. I don't have enough other guys, and I've had them in the past, like a team full of guys like that. We need more guys that look at the other guy and say, I'm going to show who's the better player here.
LSU is off to an 8-5 start. The 6'11 Simmons leads them with averages of 20 points, 13 rebounds, and nearly 5.5 assists per game. The Morehead State basketball Eagles are looking to climb out of their current funk, including last Saturday's 62-57 defeat at Murray State. Coach Sean Wood's Eagles have lost 4 straight by a cumulative total of only 20 points.
We're fighting, but we just got to find a way to win down the stretch, and we're just not there yet. You know, we got key guys that, you know, letting us down in key situations, and we just got to get better at it.
6-7 MSU hit just 2 of its final 11 field goal tries in falling at Murray State. The Eagles continue OVC play at home on Thursday night at 6 against Southeast Missouri. The Morehead State women's basketball team will also be coming off a loss when it entertained Southeast Missouri on Thursday night at 8:15. The 6-9 Eagles blew a fourth quarter lead and fell over the weekend at Murray 83-79. Despite the disappointing outcome, Coach Greg Todd says there were some positives for MSU.
I thought our half-court defense was better. We made some decent decisions. We shot the three-point shot well for tonight. We, I thought, made some costly turnovers late, but we took better care of the ball for the first part of the game.
Led by Ariel McKee's 14 points, the Eagles had 5 players score in double figures against the Racers. The Rowan County girls basketball team has action tonight. They'll play at Morgan County at 7:30. Round coach Elaine Douglas is happy with the Lady Vikings' 9-5 start to this season.
They've got a lot of potential. I've got a lot of a really strong young group mingled in with these veteran players, and so I'm able to go 3 or 4 deep on my bench now. So, you know, they could surprise a few people.
Round will face a Morgan group that's 6-6. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball opens its OVC home schedule Thursday, hosting Southeast Missouri. The men's game tips off at 6 p.m. with the women's game set for 8:15. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle ticket office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower the first trading day of the year, weighed down by renewed concerns of global economic slowdown and increased tensions in the Middle East. An overnight drop in the Chinese stock market triggered a new circuit breaker rule, and this certainly pressured sentiment. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 276.09 at 17,148.94. The S&P 500 was down 31.28 at 2,012.66, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 104.32 at 4,903.09. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 21-9 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Earlier, the Dow Jones Industrials fell more than 450 points, down more than 2.5%, and so the market's finishing well off of their earlier lows. U.S. data released this morning reaffirmed concerns about global manufacturing, as the U.S. December ISM Manufacturing Index was 48.2, which was below expectations and down from November's 48.6 print. Among NASDAQ stocks, Apple finished with a small gain after earlier falling more than 3%, while the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF did finish with a loss of just over 3% in afternoon trading. Tesla and Chinese e-commerce site JD.com both fell more than 7% in afternoon trading, and they were the greatest decliners in the NASDAQ 100. European stocks were sharply lower, with the German DAX falling more than 4% for its largest daily decline since August 24th of last year, and the Stoxx Europe 600 index closed about 2.5% lower. U.S. crude oil futures were down 28 cents, finishing at $36.76 a barrel, and this after having an earlier spike above $38, and oil prices were earlier given a boost when Saudi Arabia, the world's biggest oil exporter, cut diplomatic ties with Iran on Sunday in response to the storming of its embassy in Tehran, and of course that followed Saudi Arabia's execution of a prominent Shiite cleric. Overnight, China's Shanghai Composite lost nearly 6.9% for its worst day since August 25th of last year. And Treasury yields hit their lowest level in a week as there was a flight to safety, as bond prices were very strong today, with the two-year yield finishing near 1.02% and the 10-year yield finishing at 2.22%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 67 cents at 102.03, CSX down 16 cents at 25.79, AEP up 8 cents at 58.35, AK Steel up 11 cents at 2.35, Marathon Petroleum down 58 cents at 51.26, and Kroger was down 69 cents to finish at 41.15. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
And here's a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Mason, and Carter. Tonight, mostly clear. Flurries possible in the evening. Lows in the mid-teens. Tuesday, sunny. Highs in the mid-30s. Tuesday night, mostly clear. Lows in the upper teens. Wednesday, look for sunny skies. Highs in the mid-40s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 20s, and then on Thursday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain showers and highs in the upper 40s. Around the region, 33 in Ashland, 32 in Flemingsburg, 33 in Inez, 34 degrees in Lexington, 34 also in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 32 degrees. And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Tanner Boyd, Sam Steyer, Michael Gustin, and Ellen Barnett. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.